Hey, this is Ash from All Things Dentistry, the place where we're passionate about sharing all of these crazy things, experiences at my clinical practice. If you're new to the podcast, you're going to hear things that go on in the practice, my practice anyways, maybe not yours. Yours is probably pristine, but mine is lots of little erroneous errors going on all the time, even like today, again. So let's just dive into it. I usually say I've got a couple of cases, and by this time I'm stopped talking, I've only talked about one. So I'll talk quickly about Tash Med. So Dr. Lightcure, I figured it out, sent me these really interesting anterior metal proximal strips. Because as I was fiddling around with these clear, I can't remember the material, the clear matrix of plastic ones, whatever the name is, on the roll for anterior teeth, never liked them. They're always terrible. And, you know, there's definitely BioClear in these other ones. And I think she saw it on one of the videos. I was struggling with this matrix and I got rid of it and just threw like a kidney shaped Harrison one in for a canine, and boom, solved the problem. And I went out to my mailbox. So I live in the middle of nowhere. Went out like old school mailbox, you know, like the little flag that goes up. If you can visualize a box with the little flag that goes up when the mailman brings, mail person, sorry, the mail thing, yeah, in Canada these days, you know, no pronouns whatsoever. The mail, we'll just stop at mail. The mail blank dropped the parcel off into my thing. And so I went over to, I think I can still call myself a man. Oh, I'm not going to get to that. So I can call myself I. So I walk over, open it up, and I'm like, what's this about? Because I don't remember ordering anything from Amazon or Winnipeg, Manitoba, for all intents and purposes. So I crack it open, and there's a bill. And I'm like, what the hell is this about? And there's these little matrices. I'm like, wow, these look really cool for anterior. They got like a handle that you can like form anterior proximal, like a class three if you want, but more of a class four, like a big buildup on a central incisor, lateral incisor canine. And I was like, I better make sure that, because it had an invoice and I didn't really understand the invoice. So I was like, you know what? This is really weird. I should really just call to make sure that they, sometimes companies will just send stuff. Maybe once in a while. They'll send stuff and then like, hey, try it out. Then there's a bill with it. I'm like, you know, it's not very much. I'm just going to make sure that I don't owe them any money so I don't get this weird credit thing. So I call. So I look in the back of the package of this little, this has actually got nothing to do with dentistry, but I apologize. Clinical anyways. So I look in the back of these matrices. There's two different kinds. And I'm like, looks like it's made in Germany, but then it looks like it's made in Russia. I'm like, what the hell is this about? But it looks like it's cleared by the Health Canada. So I call, and sure enough, a lady with a Russian accent, I answer the phone, and it's a Manitoba telephone number, because I'm from Manitoba, so born and raised, never going back. And I called and I said, hey, how's it going? And my next question was, are you actually in Winnipeg? I mean, you know, like you can call a number, but it could go anywhere in the world, like specifically to Russia. And she said, yes, I live in Winnipeg, which I'm just like, blown away how this lady is living in Winnipeg, Manitoba, divvying out matrices and rubber dam clamps and other little fiddle dentistry things. Like, it blows my mind. So I said, I received an invoice and I really don't know. I'm confused. And she said, oh, is there an invoice number? I'm like, no. And I gave her some random, like some number. She's like, oh, that's from so-and-so. I'm like, okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Lightcure. And this company, TashMed, I think that's what it's called. You know, they have like crazy instruments of like destruction on there too, like the rubber dam. I saw like a, it's called a 2 alpha delta, where it was like, you put the clamp on like a premolar, and then it's got these crazy wings that are anterior, and it probably like a centimeter, maybe a centimeter and a half long of wings, meat seal, where it can, you know, keep something out, keep the rubber dam out of the way. And I was like, wow. I said it looks like a torture device. I don't think she found that very funny, but, you know, it does look like one. I mean, frick. I've never actually seen one in clinical practice. Anyways, thank you, Dr. Lightyear, if you're listening. I'm truly grateful. I'm going to give them a shot and go from there. So, I didn't tell you how I figured it out, but I figured it out. So back to, I have not tried them out in clinical practice, so we're going to give that a shot. If you hear, it sounds like there's a drum roll going on, I apologize. I'm driving with my little microphone, and we just got a snowstorm. I don't know what's going on right now, like really heavy rain, snow kind of stuff. So I'm just going to rock this, keep going. Or maybe not. Pretty crazy here. All right, we're back. It kind of died down. So, the rain that is. So, a good friend of mine, James, I've known James for 25 years, and about 20 years ago, we lived in the same area, and I was his dentist. Well, actually, he was his neighbor. And James had a football injury to his central incisor, pick one. It's 50-50, 2-1. And so he had that knocked out, and then he had a root canal on his maxillary right central incisor, and then hit a bridge. So I met with, 20 years ago, he's my neighbor, and I'm like, hey, that bridge looks like hell, and I think we can do better. And it was 20 years ago, so it was before residency. I didn't even take any pictures. I mean, that was before even cell phones. I didn't even have a cell phone. Crazy. And so I don't even have any photos. I probably took like a Polaroid, if you don't know what that is. You're not missing much. It's kind of fun though. So we replaced the bridge, and at the same time I was like, I'm gonna do a little aesthetic work. So we did and we're gonna preserve some teeth. So on his so the bridge was from, let me see here, 1-1, so I'm actually right central incisor to the left lateral incisor thing. I don't know if you get into this kind of situation where everything's upside down when you're dealing with these teeth. So I'm trying to remember which way I was going. It's one of them. Anyways, replacing the central incisor, and then I did these kind of funky, it would have been with feldspathic porcelain. Ooh, fancy words. Not Emax, essentially, just porcelain that can be bonded to teeth. And I did like a kind of 3/4 veneer on one canine, and then a lateral, same thing. It was not full crowns. Anyways, I see him back. We live in the same area again. And I see him back about a year ago, and I'm like, oh man, your bridge, I can't believe you're still rocking this thing. Like, nothing's broken. I mean, it's pretty almost impossible, this bite. He's like a deep class 2, and his anterior teeth are really a lot of over jet. So pretty hard to break them. Ideal for an anterior bridge. And there's a lot of decay. Not a lot of decay, but the reason why I'm talking about this is because it was almost like a rest and decay. It was almost like, so it was a PFM crown, a PFM bridge, and a couple of feldspathic porcelain veneers. I guess I could have spit that out really early. And around the marge, so he had some gingival recession. I mean, same age I am, like we're down near 50. So in the last 20 years, he's had gingival recession on his central incisor. So, and right at the margin, it's opened and there's decay. And it's not like hard decay, it's just the margin's open and there's decay there. Like, not a lot though. That's what's so interesting about it. And same on the other abutment. Like, on both abutments, there's a bit of decay around the margins and you can see it, but it's almost like it's just there, but it's not like bombed out. And I'm, it's thinking about, as I was repainting my basement and filling holes for my kids, making holes, because I have to sell my place and move. As I was thinking about it, I'm like, you know, maybe I should just put another PFM bridge in there because, you know, we'd always go, today's typically either Emax or Zirconia, right? But is there not bacteriostatic, you know, effects of gold and amalgam? I'll say that because I don't do a lot of amalgam, but I can tell you that I've seen amalgams in high caries risk patients, and I don't know how they're just, they just stop bacteria from growing. It's like they don't like the silver and they don't like the gold. So, you know, I almost, there was a little bit of decay that was, it's not even a decay, it's really hard to describe. But it'd probably been there for like 3 or 4 years and it just never kind of continued. And it's just so interesting. So I'm just like, maybe I should just, because it was a porcelain margin, what we used to call, I don't know if you still do it, a butt porcelain margin that you'd have to do with this PFM. It had to be thick, and then you'd have the metal cut back a bit, all these crazy things. So it, the metal didn't go right on the buckle, so it looked like, you know, something really from the 50s. It was a porcelain butt margin, but it was open. So it's almost like when the bacteria hit the gold, it was just kind of like, woo, we don't like that. Anyways, we elected to cut this bad boy off. All the teeth were still, all the teeth, except for the root canal tooth, the other teeth were still vital. There was a really crappy cast post core that I put into the, central incisor, because that's all I, not that I, all I knew, but I was out of dental school 2 years, and I'm like, well, I was taught to do these, so I guess I should do them. It was really short, and it did not fracture a tooth, and the reason why I think it did not fracture a tooth is because his bite was so wonky, so he's not using it, which is perfect. Not putting forces on that, but also, there's a hell of a lot of ferrule, so not a lot of forces. He probably didn't need, no, he still needed some sort of post, but this day and age, I'd just use a composite post, glass fiber post with composite core. So we cut this thing off, and I don't know, I'm sure listeners, you've cut off things that are bonded. Wow, I mean, it's almost easier just to prep a fresh tooth. So you don't know what is tooth and what's porcelain, you don't know what's keeps going. So that, cutting those veneers off took a bit of time. The PFM crown, it was such an interesting, such a great, under the microscope, that's what I use. Under the microscope, looking at just the different layers of the cross-section of a PFM crown, which probably most of you listeners have never done, and you're not missing anything, so don't worry about it. But it was like two structure, then you can see the glass ionomer cement, that's all we had. Then you could see the metal coping, beautiful yellow gold, type 4. Then you could see the opaque. Then you could see then the porcelain on top of it. So I was just like, wow, back to residency. So we cut all this stuff, and then I elected to, so the bridge is obviously, they're converging, the two abutments. And I know better than this. So what are you about to hear? I know better than this, to not lock everything in when you're making your temps. And that's essentially what happened. Oh my God. If you stuck to 7 minutes and 30 seconds to now, you're finally getting to the meat of the, yeah, you can imagine what happened. So the two, and I actually can't remember what I did a long time ago. And then I think, like, what did prosthodontists do? Well, they put everything so it's converging, so everything comes off at the same time. Me, on the other hand, I'm like, I want to save tooth structure and not think about converging, you know, anything other than a bridge. Of course, that causes a lot of problems. So the one thing you can learn from this is either make everything convergent if you're doing multiple abutment or tooth preparation impressions and or temps, or just don't do it and for somebody else. How about that? So the two veneers, I've kind of kept them as a veneer, like 3/4 crown veneer, whatever, like it's not a full crown. I really should have kept them in the same path or similar path as the bridge, but I didn't, and I didn't even think to do that. So we pack some cord, like I do a double cord technique, dual cord. I usually use 2 number 1 cords. It's a lot. this time I relented and I'm like, ah, hell no, let's use a 00 for the sulcular one. I still don't know what the sulcular one does. Really, if you use a double, if you do the number one dual core technique, and you have a number one chord in the sulcus, it is freaking huge. And that keeps the gingiva away. It's unbelievable. But I ran into a case last week, and I've, for some reason, the last month, I've done more bridges than I've done in a decade. I don't know why. I don't like doing them. These are a lot of work, and they're all aesthetic cases. And like, they're not difficult aesthetic cases, but they're anterior bridges. Because the patient has elected not to do, either I'm replacing, yeah, most of the time a patient has elected not to do an implant, so they're like, here, you do it. Regardless, they are a lot of work. And so I pack the cord and I sit there and think, like, why don't I just make the temp right now? Because usually what I do is I pack two cord, make the temp, boom, done. Like, you know what? Let's pack the cord, get it in there. Let's let it kind of marinate for a bit. And let's do the efficient way. Let's make the temp now. Well, I can tell you. So, and I'm really smart about this, right? I fill my stent that I've made. I wax up his case. Didn't need much of a wax up, just filling some undercuts. And making the crowns a little bit longer on the tooth. On the models that we had. So I go ahead, fill my stent full with integrity. And then what I do is if you haven't done this before, it's a little more wastage, but it prevents bubbles. I'll take actually the integrity gun and run it around the prep as well, the margins at least. And I find that eliminates having a lot of voids most of the time. So I do that. Split that stent down, and I don't know about you, but I really need to put a timer on this thing. It always seems like it sets at different speeds. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna give this a good go, and then I kind of start moving it up and down, kind of like not the full way. Stent comes off a millimeter, I put it back down, you know, like that, kind of like on the bus, off the bus, little thing, like helmet on, helmet off. And then I do that after about 30 seconds, I pull it off, and then it wasn't long enough, and it's just trash. I'm like, frick. Okay, wasted moment there. So, yes, I can have a lab one made, but I'm like, I've been doing this long enough where like, come on, why? Now I know why I should have done that, but then you have to take an impression, which, regardless. So, well, I guess you don't. You can have them just hog it out and just put one, but you know, whatever. So, clean out the stent. Round two. I'm going to wait a bit longer. All right. I waited too long. Yes, you just heard that. So, and I actually, if you can imagine this, I did immediate dented sealing on the vital teeth. I really believe in that now. And I put, not a good idea, but whatever, Vaseline on the teeth just to make sure I wasn't, you know, I don't have any KY jelly floating around in my office. I just have a ton of Vaseline. Like, forget it. Let's just put it down. So we slam down some Vaseline on those teeth and then do the same thing. Fill the stent. Really smart, you know, efficient, putting integrity onto the, or Luxatemp, whatever you want to call it, just my provisional material, put down my stent, wait a bit longer, and I'm like, oh, pull it off. I don't even know how long I wait. I'm doing the, you know, the on the bus, off the bus a little bit, and I finally pull it off. I'm like, oh, okay, let's try to get this off. I mean, that's not a good sign, but maybe it's a good sign. It doesn't come off, it stays on the preps, but usually that means things are not convergent. Well, I can tell you that what I should have done is make everything convergent. That's option A. That would have made life way easier. But if you don't want to do that for a variety of reasons, you don't want to make everything look like a pencil, all your preps look like pencils. I've seen that before. I sat there and thought, like, why does everything look like a pencil? Like, well, I know why now. So you can do multiple preps and get your impression good to go and everything good to go. So you can do that, or you cut the bridge off, or you cut your bridge and then make your temp then, and then prep your other teeth and then temp those afterwards. That might be a better option, because I can tell you that's what I'm going to do next time, because I locked it on. And you know, I think I should have relented, because I was like, you know what, I'm going to get this off, and then I'm going to try not to destroy the bridge. I'll have to cut the other things off. My preps are finalized. Everything was done, but I had an impress. So even if I dinged one of the preps a little bit, no big deal, because we're still going to take our impression. So we've got, you know, imagine we've got 5 units of little teeth, like pretend teeth in plastic, and 3 of them are attached and 2 on the wings are not supposed to be attached. So I'm chiseling away. I've got my 15 blade out. I've got my burr out. I'm trying to preserve the main bridge. And so the 1/3 veneer onlay, whatever you want to call it, 3/4 crown, that finally breaks free. I'm like, okay, that's good. Then I'm struggling to get the 2/2. If these numbers don't make sense, it's all good, because I'm just finally vaguely remembering which teeth were what. So 2/2 was like a 3/4 crown thing. And I finally break that free. Almost just essentially cut it off. And then I have my bridge, which that damn thing almost didn't come off either, which is a great indicator for me, because I am using a large mirror, but then I'm like, okay, I obviously don't have enough convergence. And there's a couple spots where I tweaked it after I got that thing off. But I mean, I just went through my problems in literally 1 minute, and it must have taken me like 30, because I'm just trying to preserve everything, right? I'm like, trying to keep it so I don't have to remake this thing. Anyways, didn't get the second impression, didn't get our final impression done. That was out the window. And then what I decided to do, so hopefully you've learned something from this. Go read a textbook or watch a YouTube video of what not to do. So I temporarily cemented the 3-unit bridge down, and it looks great. Like, I'm happy with it. He's a really good friend of mine. He's one of my best friends. So his wife said, perfect. You know, this is one of those happy ending stories. Yeah, we're still in temps. I'll probably only tell you happy ending stories. So she's super happy, because the black line at the gingival margin is now gone, because there was a little bit of decay there. She's like, his tooth was blue. She's happy. It looks better. Okay, good. So I temporarily cemented that back down with some Tempon. Old school eugenol. That's right. I don't know. I just love the smell. And then I elected to then take my stent and then just lock those other crowns on, the other like 3/4 crowns on, just lock them on and be done. And so his teeth are not sensitive to cold, which is good. I did do immediate dentin sealing on all of them, so that did not play a factor in our temporary material being adhering to it, because we all got rid of the oxygen inhibitor layer with alcohol, and I also Vaseline the heck out of them, so no possibility there. So, unfortunately, it was a marathon with some success. I mean, we've got our temp done, partially, and then we'll have to bring it back. So, as I'm thinking, I'm vocalizing what I'm thinking, I may actually, I don't know, it's a hard thing, because you're probably asking, like, why did you do these 3/4 crowns? One, I hate stripping the bark off of trees. I hate it. Hate doing that, but it is what it is. Two, his bite is like perfect right on these two spots on the canine. I remember looking at it on a canine and on two canines, like his anterior teeth, that's all he bites on anteriorly. Like that's how much overjet he has. So when I preserve that occlusion on natural tooth, like everything else is so much easier, right? Like it's just like here, try it. Yeah, he bites, I'll do it for you. You can hear that? and then it's boom, done. So, and it's preserving two structures. So, and actually the original lasts 20 years. I'm like, well, you know, it's kind of like a confidence builder, a little bit of validation before I tackle the next thing. It just goes back in the toilet. So I'm kind of I don't think I'm going to reprep. I might make it a little more convergent. I'm not going to, toothpick it, so everything just kind of floats off, and we rely on, we throw retention resistance form out the window and rely mainly on bonding, so we're not going to do that this time anyways. But, and I sat there and I was just thinking, like, what the hell did I do 20 years ago? I actually can't even remember. Couldn't even tell you. Wish I could. Anyways, it's been 19 minutes. I'm very grateful for you to listen to me ramble. Hopefully that's given you a little tip of what not to do and to make you feel like maybe, you know, the crazy things that go into your clinical practice, they're happening all over the place. We just don't want to talk about it. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers.